Well, we are so glad you're here tonight. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 19. Pretty good chapter to look at tonight in light of events. And before we tackle the text tonight, let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to have the inspired scriptures in our hands. And we're grateful for the stability that it brings to us personally and also in many ways nationally. We're just grateful, Lord, that you're a God who's still on your throne, still sovereign, and working out your will. And sometimes we see from this book in Jeremiah that your will is not pleasant because a nation has turned far, far, far away from thee. And I pray that tonight your spirit would use this text to minister to all of us, and we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we have said, Jeremiah is a book that describes what God will do to his own people if they persist in pursuing sin. I want to remind us all, in the first chapter, we learned that Jeremiah was a prophet to the nations. So his responsibility was to take the truth that is revealed in this writing and proclaim it to the nations. And Jeremiah is a book that carefully presents the sad reality that it is possible for the people of God to live their lives totally out of fellowship with the Lord. They can actually get involved in evil things, and when that happens, if they persist in it, God will chastise his people, and his chastisement will not be pretty, and it will not be pleasant. Now, understand this about God, and certainly watching what has happened in this nation over the years, we do understand this about God. God gives people plenty of grace time to repent. The scriptures are very clear that God is very slow to anger. He's a very patient God. He's long-suffering. He gives people plenty of time, plenty of rope before they hang themselves. But if they do not get right with him, and if they do not turn to him, he will make things go wrong in their world, and he will do it by his own design. When God's people persist in abominable things that are degrading to the Lord, God will cause all kinds of catastrophic afflictions to hammer even his own people. These afflictions will come at them from all different angles. God's people need to know this, they need to be told this, they need to be warned this, they need to be shown this. What is in this book is serious business. God can and will crush his own people in devastating chastisement if they do not turn from evil. He will cause them to collapse. Now in chapter 18, last time, God used an illustration that he wanted Jeremiah to present to the people. It was an illustration of the potter and the clay. And what God wanted to illustrate is, I am the sovereign potter, and the people are the clay. God stands ready to remake and remold his people into something beautiful. He stands ready to remake and remold his people into something honorable if they turn from evil. And in chapter 18, the illustration of the potential to turn from evil and become a vessel of honor was there. Back in chapter 18 and verse 8, God said, if that nation against which I've spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity that I plan to bring on it. So in chapter 18, there was a grace invitation that if the nation would turn to him, he would relent from what he was going to do. But in chapter 19, the potential for remolding and remaking is gone. That is what God wanted Jeremiah to illustrate to his own people when you come to this chapter. As potter, he was on the verge of smashing them. He was on the verge of destroying them. It wasn't that he was going to remold them. He was going to crush them with chastising judgment. And frankly, ladies and gentlemen, I think this nation is on the verge of that right now. God wanted Jeremiah to present another side to God, other than grace, forgiveness, and toleration. He was sent by God to the people of God to warn them that their time was up. No longer was he going to mold them into something beautiful. He was about to crush them. He was about to break them down. And in this chapter, he continues on using that imagery of the potter and pottery to make the point. What we'll see when we go through this chapter tonight is when God's people forsake the word of God, when God's people forsake true worship of God, when they persist in doing things that God absolutely detests, God will crush them and smash them. And Jeremiah was to illustrate that by breaking and smashing a potter's jar. When God's people continually get involved in corrupt and evil things, God will eventually reach a point when he says, "That's enough. I've had enough of that. I'm going to bring various crushing calamities against even my own people." And since Jeremiah is a prophet to the nations, this message is supposed to be proclaimed to the nations. Now, I know it sounds like I'm harping on something here, but I tell you this right now. Rock bands on a platform in church are not going to bring the blessings of God. I don't care how many people they bring in. They're not going to bring the blessings of God. Ministers who stand in pulpits and promote evil things from their pulpits are not going to bring the blessings of God. They're going to bring the chastising judgments of God. Now I want you to notice how verse 1 begins of chapter 19. "Thus says the Lord." So this is all coming from God. I'm not the one making this up. Jeremiah's not the one that's making this up. Everything you're about to read, everything you're about to see, comes inspired by God. Now the illustration that God wants Jeremiah to give is an illustration, as we mentioned, that concerns a potter. This is the second time that God has specifically used this illustration. In chapter 18, he was, if you remember, the potter was making something and it was spoiled. He was making some pottery and it had defects. It didn't turn out to be what it was supposed to be. The application was obvious. Since it didn't turn out to be the way it was supposed to be, something needed to be done. So in this text, he goes on with that illustration, but he gives it a slightly different twist. And there are two parts to it. First of all, Jeremiah is to buy a potter's jar. Notice verse 1. "Go and buy a potter's earthenware jar and take some of the elders of the people and some of the senior priests. Then go out to the valley of Ben-Hinnom, which is by the entrance of the potsherd gate, and proclaim there the words that I tell you. And say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I'm about to bring calamity upon this place, at which the ears of everyone that hears of it will tingle. Because they've forsaken me and have made this an alien place and have burned sacrifices in it to other gods that neither they nor their forefathers nor the kings of Judah had ever known, and because they filled this place with the blood of the innocent and have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, a thing which I never commanded or spoke of, nor did it ever enter my mind. Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place will no longer be called Topheth or the valley of Ben-Hinnom, but rather the valley of slaughter. I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hand of those who seek their life. And I will give over their carcasses as food for the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth. I will also make this city a desolation and an object of hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and hiss because of all its disasters. I will make them eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, that they will eat one another's flesh in the siege and in the distress with which their enemies and those who seek their life will distress them." According to verses 1 and 2, Jeremiah was told by God, "I want you to go and buy a potter's earthenware jar." Now this jar, bakbuk, as I understand the Hebrew pronunciation, was like a decanter. It had a wide body and narrow neck and handle for pouring. It could range anywhere from 4 to 10 inches high. The actual Hebrew name of this comes from a gurgling sound that liquid makes when it passes through the opening. So the jar was something from which you could pour out liquid. What God told them to do is, I want you to go to a potter's house and I want you to buy that kind of jar. According to verse 2, after he purchased the jar, he said, I want you to get some of the elders and senior priests, and I want you to take them out to the valley of Ben Hinnom, which is by the entrance of the Potsherd Gate. Now, these leaders were the political and religious leaders, and God tells Jeremiah, go get these leaders, and you take them out there, and they were supposed to listen to the word of God. God wanted them to watch what Jeremiah was going to do. The elders and senior priests would be there, and one would think they'd be very concerned about the word of God. I mean, these are people leading a nation. You would think if anybody in the world in that nation would be concerned about what the word of God says on issues, it would be the political and religious leaders. That's what you would think. But that, of course, is not what the situation was. Now, the valley of Ben Hinnom was a garbage dump that was located outside the city. This place is mentioned a few times in the book of Jeremiah. This was a place where rubbish was left to burn. Josiah had judged this place because it had been a place of child sacrifices. They did horrible things in this location, and this place became known as Gehenna, the Valley of Hinnom, which was a place of smoldering fire, of burning garbage. In the New Testament, this place is referred to as hell. Now, the Potsherd Gate was one of a lot of different gates that were in various parts of the city of Jerusalem, and in the city that had walls, every gate had something that was signified by its name. And the Potsherd Gate referred to pottery, so this may have been the place where you would take broken pottery out and discard it, throw it away. This may have been the spot where if you had pottery and it wasn't worth anything or wasn't good, you would just take it out and throw it in this spot. Jeremiah and the leaders are told, I want you to take them and stand in this garbage dump area where this broken pottery is thrown, and it's there that you're going to speak to these guys. And that's where I'm going to speak to them. And I have no doubt that when you get these upstanding political religious leaders, they're probably standing there looking at a garbage dump and say, well, what are we doing out here? What in the world are we doing out here? We're the chief people who run things. Why are we out here looking at this? In verse 3, God identifies himself as the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. That's fascinating because God says, I want you to understand something. I am the God who can control all the hosts in heaven on earth. I control everything, and I am Israel's God. And what I want is I want people, verse 3, to hear the word of the Lord. That's what God says he wants. I am the sovereign God. I control the host of everything. And what I want is people to hear the word of God. This address is aimed at the kings of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You would think you wouldn't even need to say that to these people. They're living in Jerusalem. You would think we don't have to tell them to hear the word of God. These people live here. That's what they would want. You would think you wouldn't have to say that to leaders of the United States. This nation was founded on a fear of the Lord. You would think you wouldn't have to say to the leaders, you need to hear the word of God. But that isn't the case. It wasn't in Jeremiah's day. It's not in our day. So the entire present and future political world and religious people of the world are admonished to listen carefully to the word of God. These elders and these senior priests need to communicate that. They need to tell the people, you need to listen to the word of God. And I tell you this, political leaders are very accountable to God for the way they lead their constituency in regard to the word of God. I realize most of them have no fear of God today. I get that. But I tell you this, based on the scriptures, they will be highly accountable for how they led and the direction they led people in accordance with the word of God. And if a nation defects from God and his word, God will hold that leadership responsible. He will hold that leadership accountable because he said, you better take this seriously. And there are six specific messages that he presents to these people. Number one, I'll bring calamity judgment on my own people. Verse 3, behold, I'm about to bring a calamity upon this place at which the ears of everyone that hears of it will tingle. Now, God doesn't specifically state exactly what the calamity will be, but I can tell you this. Just by using this Hebrew word calamity, ra in Hebrew, would indicate it's going to be serious stuff. That word never describes happy land. That word describes things that are evil and bad, unfortunate things, sad things, unhappy things. God says, if you don't get serious about me and my word, you need to understand something. I'm going to bring a variety of things on Jerusalem and on the people in this land, and I'm going to bring it that will leave the whole world talking about it. It'll leave the ears tingling at the collapse of a nation and what I'm doing to it. Secondly, he says, I'm going to bring my judgment because my people have forsaken me. Verse 4, because they have forsaken me. That's a sad word, azab in Hebrew, forsaken. It's a word that refers to they've deserted the path that's right. They've left the God. They've ceased from a relationship with the Lord. They've forsaken the word of God. Not only had the people forsaken God, but they forsook the God in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. They turned a sacred place, as verse 4 says, into an alien place. And you're seeing that right now in the United States. This nation that was once a nation that honored the Lord is being turned into an alien place. They turned their backs on God and his word. The nation that had seen God do so much turned away from God, turned away from the word of God, turned away from fellowshipping with the God who blessed them. And it's happening in living color tonight. The United States was once a place that was known for its fear and reverence of God. Even the presidents who didn't have their theology right still had a fear and reverence of God. This nation was founded on the word of God, and people all over the world knew it. They knew the story of the pilgrims coming to this country, and they wanted freedom of worship. That was one of the things that they wanted. They understood that story. Not now. Not anymore. This nation has become an alien place, filled with false religions and aliens from foreign nations who've corrupted this nation, leading it right away from God. Nothing has changed from the days of Jeremiah to our time. The third message is God said, I'm going to bring judgment because my people have worshipped other gods. Verse 4, they have burned sacrifices in it to other gods. That's what happens when a land becomes an alien land where aliens dominate it. False religion just grows. False religion continues to multiply. That's what happens when people allow people in here that don't fear the Lord. When aliens and alien religions infiltrate, false ideas totally dominate. You know, we had a man a couple of days ago in Congress who is a Missouri Methodist minister who stood before Congress and said, and I quote, we pray in the name of the monotheistic God Brahma and the God known by many different names and different faiths, Amen and A Woman. A Methodist minister in Congress from the state of Missouri promoting idolatry. standing before the nation, promoting idolatry, false beliefs, polytheism. That monotheistic adjective that he uses to describe God is not sound in theology, because in all reality, if you study it, it denies Trinitarianism. So this guy is standing up, leading a nation away from God, leading people to worship other gods. That's what God said to Jeremiah. You tell him. That's why calamity's coming. A fourth message is, I'll bring judgment on them because they've filled up killing innocent blood. At the end of verse 4, verse 4 said, and they filled this place with the blood of the innocent. These people of God did horrible things to innocent babies and children. They filled the area up with abominable worship and child sacrifice. And do you think we're far removed from that? We live in a country that kills over 800,000 babies a year, kills them by abortion. And you have a government that basically says, we'll pay for it. We live in a state, the state of Michigan, that kills just under 30,000 babies a year. And the state says, we'll help you out and fund it. We call ourselves a Christian nation. Yet we allow innocent babies to be executed. We allow innocent babies to be sacrificed because many worship the god of convenience. That's their idol. They worship themselves. God says, you tell them my calamity's on the way. A fifth message is, God will bring judgment because they've made sacrifices and offerings to and for false gods. Verse 5 says, they built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, a thing which I never commanded or spoke of, nor ever even entered my mind. These were God's people. I mean, they become depraved, and they turn these high places that should have been places that spoke of the greatness and glory of God, they turn these into Baal worship. You know, I have the privilege of coming in here in the dark every single day. I mean, I'm here early. And lots of times when I get here out there, those stars and that moon will be shining. I mean, it just displays the glory of God. I normally come in here and get down on my knees in this sanctuary and pray. That's my habit daily, to come in here, get down on my knees and spend some time with the Lord. But there have been times when I've been so overwhelmed with the majesty of God out there that I just literally bow my head and stay outside under those stars and moon and talk to God. There are people that worship the stars and moon. There are people that worship the sun. We were in Florida, we saw it. They worship the sun. In other words, they sacrifice false things to false gods. And I tell you right now, most people do not give their sacrificial offerings to the true God of the Bible, and they don't give their sacrificial offerings, if they give them at all, to a place that reverences the Word of God. And God says, I've watched it. I've watched my people do this. You tell them calamity's coming. A sixth message is, God will bring judgment because they do things he never commanded. I think the end of verse 5 is fascinating. A thing which I never commanded or spoke of, nor ever did it enter my mind. You know what? God observes who it is that's serious about governing their lives by the word of God and those that aren't. And I want to tell you, God takes real interest and notice of religious people who follow man-made stuff. Stuff he didn't command. God watches that. He watches denominations that make up stuff that isn't even in the Word of God. He watches religious systems that actually come up with man-made traditions and rules that aren't revealed in the Scriptures. In fact, I would say most religious people will spend their entire lives with a following of man-made rules and traditions that were never commanded by God. And because of that, God says in verse 6, this place that was formerly a sacred place is going to be given a new name by me. I'll rename it Place of Slaughter. The word topheth comes from a root word that means fireplace. God says, I'm going to make this place as one known that I burned down. And God literally did do that. He literally did bring the Babylonians in a wave of an attack against them, and they literally burned Jerusalem down. According to verses 7 to 9, God says, I'm going to specifically and personally cause five results. Number one, I'll make void the counsel of the people. Verse 7, I'll make void the counsel of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. It's an interesting word, void. There's a real play on Hebrew words here because the word for jar is bakbuk. The word for void is bakgat or goatee, which is a very close in spelling. And the word has to do with the sound as when one pours out liquid from a jar. It has to do with that actual sound. And so what I think God is saying here is they think they're so smart and they think they're so scholarly, but I'm going to actually take these religious political leaders and they're going to be seen as being empty, worth nothing. Their counsel and their plans are empty. They aren't going to accomplish what they thought they were going to accomplish. I'm going to pour it out and they'll be seen for what they really are, worth zero. The second result is I'll hand over my people to their enemies. That's what he says in verse 17. I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hand of those who seek their life. God says, I take full responsibility for this. I've seen enough. I've watched this nation move far away from me. They remove me. They blaspheme me. They make up stuff that isn't even true. They worship things that are false. I've seen enough. So I'll actually direct enemies to come up against my people who have done that. Thirdly, he said, I will cause dead bodies to be eaten by wild animals. That's what he says in verse 7. I will give over their carcasses as food for the birds of the sky and beasts of the earth. It did happen, and during the tribulation, that's going to happen in a big time way. And I think we're rapidly approaching that tribulation. Fourthly, God will destroy the city. That's what he says in verse 8. I'll also make this city a desolation, an object of hissing. Now, at the time that Jeremiah is saying this, Jerusalem was standing there in all of its glory. I mean, it's a big time city, impressive to look at. God said, it's coming down. And finally, he says, I'll cause people to eat dead bodies. Dead bodies. That's what he says in verse 9. I will make them eat the flesh of their sons and flesh of their daughters. Hold your finger here, if you would. Just flip over a few pages to the right to Lamentations chapter 4, if you would. Just Lamentations chapter 4. I want to draw your attention to verse 4, Lamentations chapter 4. The tongue of the infant cleaves to the roof of its mouth because of thirst. The little ones ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Drop down to verse 6. For the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown as in a moment, and no hands were turned toward her. Drop down to verse 9. Better are those slain with the sword than those slain with hunger, for they pine away, being stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. The hands of the compassionate women boiled their own children. They became food for them because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord has accomplished his wrath. He's poured out his fierce anger, and he has kindled the fire in Zion, which has consumed its foundations. God said, I am fed up. I'm fed up. These people are killing these innocent children and sacrificing them, so I'll make it so miserable they've got to eat the dead bodies. Now, after God gave Jeremiah that message, he said, you take the guys out to that dump and you present this data to them that I just told you. Then he says, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that jar that you have just purchased and I want you to break it. He says in verse 10, then you are to break the jar in the sight of the men who accompany you and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, just so will I break this people and this city, even as one breaks a potter's vessel, which cannot again be repaired, and they will bury it in Topheth because there's no other place for burial. This is how I will treat this place and its inhabitants, declares the Lord, so as to make this city like Topheth. The houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah will be defiled like the place Topheth because of all the houses on whom rooftops they burned sacrifices to all their heavenly host and poured out drink offerings to other gods. Then Jeremiah came from Topheth where the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am about to bring on this city and all its towns the entire calamity that I've declared against it because they have stiffened their necks so as to not heed my words. In verse 10, God says, now, after you've told these boys, you've got these high political religious leaders out there, I want you to take that jar that you purchased from that potter and I want you to just smash it in front of them. I want you to let them see you do it. I want you to break that jar on the ground, shatter it in pieces, so you couldn't even potentially put it back together. Smash the pot. It's worthless. It can't be fixed. It can't be reused. And then God says in verse 11, tell those leaders and the people, you're beyond prayer. You're beyond prayer. You're beyond repentance. You're beyond repair. In other words, you've reached the point where what I'm going to do is shatter you. These people were so hard-hearted that God says, all of the hope that you would have for me blessing you is gone. Jeremiah says, break that jar as an illustration of what I'm about to do to my own people. I'm going to break them. I'm going to bring on this tragedy. I'm going to smash and crush my own people, and they're not going to be able to repair this relationship. And according to verse 12, God says, this is how I'm going to treat you. This is how I'm going to treat this place. I'm going to bring it to nothing. I'm going to make it a garbage dump. God said, I'll bring this entire city of Jerusalem like Topheth, a fire pit, a fireplace. And at verse 13, God says, my judgment will affect all people. Doesn't matter where they live. I don't care if they're a king. I don't care if they're a priest or just an average citizen. God says, when I decide, I'm going to pour out my chastising judgment because of all the idolatrous evil things they've done, they're not going to stop it. And according to verses 14 and 15, after Jeremiah smashed the pot and communicated that to the leaders and the people, he then goes to God's temple. He goes to God's temple, the house of the Lord, and he proclaimed the same message there. And he says, using the same word in verse 15, calamity, that he used back in verse 3, he says, I'm going to bring the entire package. See, he didn't even say specifically what the calamity does, but he said, I'm going to bring the entire package of calamity against, notice carefully, against my own people. These are my people. Why? Because they have stiff necks when it comes to my word. They stiffen their necks against the word of God. God said, I've seen enough of it. They make fun of me. They mock me. They've hardened their hearts and stiffened their necks, so I'm going to bring one disaster after another on them. I mean, this thing's going to fall apart, and they can't stop it. G. Campbell Morgan said, if a man or a nation, in spite of all the patient grace of God, persist in courses of evil and rebellion, them he will break in pieces. To find in the redeeming purpose of Jehovah a tolerance of sin is of all evils the most terrible. Now the message that Jeremiah presented to these political religious leaders is the same message that needs to be presented to every nation and individual that stiffens its neck against God and his word and persists in evil. God will always watch over faithful people. Don't ever forget that. God will always watch over and provide things for faithful people, but he'll crush those that aren't. It's pretty clear to me, in light of historical events, God's starting to let things just fall apart. I believe he's behind it. His sovereign hand is orchestrating it. We prayed for 2 years going into this election. Many of us on our knees prayed concerning this election. And God's answer was no. No. And I fear what God has basically said is too late. Too late. This nation has just walked away from me. It's made mockery of my word. And I'm going to just allow it to collapse. But for faithful people, he will always watch over them. He will always take care of them. So always turn to the Lord, and he will relent of the negative things he would have done to us. That is the truth of Jeremiah 19. Well, our time is gone tonight, so thank you for coming. Good night. The Lord bless you.